What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Elias here with Weekly Wrestling Heat. We are back with a special Monday episode after AEW Revolution.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That all in one breath.
More like AEW.
Don't.
Unrevolution.
Okay. I think I know what's going to happen tonight. And I want to throw something out to anybody that is watching this live or on the replay to make sure that you share this video after the fact. And then while you're watching it, okay, I want you to do like a live reply if you have the time. And I want you to reply to the people in this room, myself, Elias and Moyes, about who is correct, who is wrong, and who is just giving out bad takes because they enjoy the flaming hot flames on the bottom of their souls.
Oh, no, Matt, I'm on your side in this. I know you don't believe it, but I'm on your side in this.
I'm excited to hear what everybody has to say. So before we get started, I'm going to quickly do some shares because I want to make sure that there are some people that are going to hear the thoughts that we have to say as is, because I want to hear a live feedback of chat if we can get some people that are watching it live, because I have a feeling, I have a feeling that it's going to be a show that's going to have a lot of people talking about different stuff. That's my opinion. So I want to get this shared. Now that I'm an admin on this group, I need to go back to myself so I can share it in my wrestling groups. I have some wrestling groups that I'm a part of, and I need to share this in there. Chris, how is it going? Thank you so much for watching and joining us live. I'm sure you're probably watching WWE Raw. If you're not, you can always record it and watch it later. Guys, this is the 21st century.
And it's 3 hours long. You have to record it. It's 3 hours long. You have to record
This is what you should be watching right now. This, the Weekly Wrestling Heat, is the place to be, especially tonight. Especially tonight, okay?
A special Monday edition. We couldn't get Matt on for months, and now we got Matt on like three times in a week, which I don't know.
I told you that I was going to do this with y'all. You didn't believe me, which I can't blame you. Okay. It's not like I don't blame you. Hold on. I have to speak at the same time as I'm writing. You do not want to miss this show. That's what I just said. You do not want to miss the show. I'm sharing to a couple wrestling groups that I have that I'm a part of. But I told you after the Royal Rumble, I said I will watch NXT. I tried to watch Raw that first week. It was not good, and I just never got back around to it because I'm going to keep. I like to keep up with the wrestling show shenanigans until Mania, and then I decide if I'm going to stick around even longer after Mania. Right?
Okay. So let me ask you a question right now, Matt. Question right now. From what you've seen so far, I know you haven't really watched SmackDown, and I know you haven't really watched Raw. SmackDown seems like it is piquing your interest a little bit in certain things.
I like Daniel Bryan. I like what they're doing with Roman Reigns. Like, the characters in SmackDown universe definitely has me far more interested than like Raw.
Have you seen any of the Apollo Crews stuff lately?
I haven't, but I heard Derek, a friend of ours in our chat, was not happy with the way that he was being portrayed at the time. And he
watched it until I told him that's the same character he was on the indies. And then I think Derek went back and watched it because he hearted my message and everything.
Mm. Yeah.
So a lot of people think it's a very racially biased character, but it's what he was doing on the indies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will need to take a look at that. But go back to your question. Was your question just about Apollo Crews?
No, sorry. So, does it look like you're going to stick around any of these shows? Because I know you're probably going to be sticking around with AEW after Mania. I think you're going to be sticking around with NXT, too.
As of right now, I think I'm also going to be sticking around with NXT, especially just because I'm getting a little bit more invested in the characters. I also like some of the storylines that they're kind of starting to tell. I want to understand why you guys like what's his name, Cross, so much, because still I haven't seen any... seen him do anything. Hi, Danny. How's it going? Thank you so much for joining us here on Weekly Wrestling Heat. Don't forget to share the podcast with a friend.
All right, let's get into it.
I'm talking to Matt right here about NXT because I need one more question.
Okay.
I want to talk about this because it's confirmed now. So NXT will be moving on Tuesdays. I think this is a great move because WWE can play it both ways. You could play it as the network moved us, and you could play it as we're also the good guys. You know, you could play it both ways.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of people are hating on the move, but I'm not hating on it.
I don't think anybody should hate on it because it's a great. No. It's good for wrestling fans, right?
I want both shows to hit a million. I want both shows to hit a million.
But here's the thing about it. When you look at NXT versus AEW on Wednesday night, none of them are able to gather the bigger audience. Yes, AEW has had the advantage about 100K, 200K at the most, but nobody has hit a million. Putting them on different days actually is beneficial to both shows because you have a dedicated audience for each show and actually sees who can actually hit that mill.
Yes,
or who can actually get that target audience that both shows are trying to get. So if you don't, if they don't, if people are making it seem like, oh, NXT couldn't win against AEW, think about it, like logically thinking about it, NXT sometimes has the better wrestling than AEW. And when you look at TakeOver, TakeOver manages to deliver more than AEW does at times when they do their pay-per-views. So there is some pros and cons with both things, but my thing about it is I think it's a great move. I think it's that it's allowing them to actually garner their audience, see who can actually sink or swim by themselves.
Yes.
And that's where it all matters. Like if AEW can grow to over a million or NXT can grow over a million, that's great. But, you know, it is what it is. They got moved. And it's not because they couldn't handle the competition to AEW. It's because the network was like, well, we have this deal with the NHL, so we're going to put it on a primetime spot. Like on
NBC Sports is going out, is being discontinued.
I think it's really important, like what we see happen in this upcoming time with NXT moving to Tuesday. It is super interesting because let's face it, if both of their numbers don't improve, I'm talking about AEW and NXT. If they don't improve, if they stay very close to where they're already at, it's a failure. Both of these companies are failures in a way. Like, and I don't mean that literal because wrestling is so different compared to the heyday of it and everything. But like, both of them should see an uptick. Absolutely.
Can we pull up Christian's comment about why I like Karrion Kross really quick?
You mean Chris's?
Chris's, yes.
Okay, and then so we do need to start the pay per view. I'm with Elias. We need to start talking about this.
Impact had a show here, and I didn't meet Scarlett. I met this dude, and he was one of the nicest guys in the world, and that's why I cheer for him because he's a good-hearted dude. Matt, you're gonna like this too. You don't want to cut me off on this. In Orlando, he does fundraisers for anti-child predatoring. He does a lot of good stuff in the city of Orlando, and that's why I like the dude.
I mean, I find it funny that the reason why we should like him is because you decided to show a potato picture on your webcam to us. That was that. You know, I'm convinced now that I must like Karrion Kross.
Dude, it's all the fundraising and stuff he does for all these causes that I really support.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Well, also he's a badass in the ring.
I need to see this Karrion Kross that I keep hearing so much about. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but like I can't recall seeing him, even though he had that match against Ciampa, which turned out to be a squash match. He did not wrestle in the last takeover that I did watch. The street fight, I don't really judge street fights by wrestling capability because
match?
I don't remember a Keith Lee match with him. Let's get on to the AEW Revolution pay-per-view because one of the first things that me and Elias were talking about when we first got on and we decided to save it was Elias said that he felt like a lot of these matches could have been saved for Dynamite. And I would like to go through the card real quick. And I would just like him to say which match should have been saved to Dynamite. I'm just curious.
I agree too. So I want to play this game because I agree.
AEW World Heavyweight Championship match, exploding barbed wire match. Now, we did not know that the ending was going to suck ass. So that match should not have been saved.
I'll give you that. Next match.
I'll give you that one.
AEW Women's Championship match, Shida versus Rio. Now, I will say that it could have been
it was the other Rio.
It could have been saved to Dynamite, true, but you're going to have a championship match on a card on a pay-per-view. So like, yes, you can, but like also no, you can't. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Okay. AEW Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF. You don't say that
for Dynamite. No. That's fine. The championship matches were fine. I think my most problem, the one that kind of didn't deliver, was the Miro and Kip Sabian versus the Best Friends. I felt that that match could have just gone and stayed on Dynamite.
The Matt Hardy match? The Matt Hardy match?
No, the Matt Hardy match had a build. No, hold on. Hold on. Matt Hardy versus Hangman was a built match that was built from the ground up to get to this pay-per-view. Miro, Kip Sabian, and Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, once again, was a built storyline made to get a resolution at Revolution. The Casino Tag Team Royale is the only match that I definitely could have lived without. Honestly,
that would match, be one of my favorite matches of the night.
Yeah. Why? It was very pointless. The storytelling was very... Here's the problem. Here's the biggest problem I had. You had three teams from the Dark Order, and they all got eliminated. Not only does the Dark Order look extremely weak, but you had the ability to screw over the Dark Order with Matt Hardy doing some sort of chagrinery in some way. And then you have an even better storyline going into Hangman. The Dark Order did get screwed over. Huh?
The guy from TH2 took out one of the Dark Order guys.
That was the only time, and the camera didn't catch him.
Yeah, AEW camera.
You had three teams. You had six Dark Order men.
Matt, John, I think John Silver, Pentagon, Pac, and Jungle Boy all looked like stars.
Agreed.
So how can you hate? You just made John Silver look like a star.
You didn't make the Dark Order look stronger. You made one individual look stronger.
But that's the thing. You have to start somewhere. Now, with John Silver looking strong, you can have his
six
tag
members. Six members of Dark Order couldn't get it done.
But Matt, now when they have a match, Alex Reynolds can beat a hot tag, and he can.
Oh my goodness, Chris L, how are you doing, Chris? Thank you so much for joining us here on Wrestling Heat. It's a great time to be alive, and we're glad to have you with us. What did you think of AEW Revolution? We're gonna be getting into this, and we're gonna go through the card and the matches, because unlike what Elias thought, no, most of these matches could not have been saved until Dynamite.
I stick with what I said.
I think you have at least four matches on this card that could have been on Dynamite.
You are both crazy. You are absolutely. Let's get through this. Okay, so Casino Tag Team Royale. The winner of this match was.
You skipped a pre-show, sir.
We don't talk pre-show in this. Hey, is this the pre-show or is this the actual show? This is the actual show. We don't do no pre-show stuff here.
You know why we're going to talk pre-show? Because I've never not been interested in Britt Baker until the pre-show.
I didn't watch it, so I have nothing to say. This is the only time you're going to catch me not talking this entire rest of the show. So enjoy.
They built this match. Britt Baker gets to pick her tag team partner. You can put over anyone on your roster, which has had decent women's matches in the last month. You can bring in new talent, but no, it has to be one of Kenny Omega's Joshi friends that he knows from Japan that comes out and sings karaoke for 4 fucking minutes. Not 1 minute, not 2 minutes, not 3 minutes, 4 fucking minutes, Matt. This girl is singing karaoke. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I Googled this girl. You know, this girl was in a J-pop band. J-pop is what K-pop is, but for Japanese women. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on? Because I am always so invested in Britt Baker. I love the girl. I've met the girl at WrestleMania parties. Beautiful girl, beautiful person in general. And you are pairing her with, I don't even know the girl's name, Maki Ito, I think. And what the hell? Oh my God. Elias, please.
I didn't really think much of that match.
I didn't watch it.
Did you watch the 4 minutes of karaoke?
No, I didn't. I got in when the match started.
Bro. The bane of your existence literally doesn't even get done by anybody. No one else knows.
I'm not bashing on K-pop. I'm bashing on J-pop. There's a difference. I hope she comes out on Impact or on AEW, and you have to listen to a 5-minute song Wednesday. I hope you do.
Let's get into the actual revolution, the pay-per-view, the things that went down. Let's go ahead and just talk about some stuff. I think enough has been said. Miro and Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor. It was a story that was built, and it was a story that is still building because we got Nero knocking off of Kip Sabian's wife to the guardrail just so he can win the match, which is a good way to break them up and to have them have a match. Though I was thinking with my Booker hat on, I felt like Elias a lot during the show, to be honest with you, because I kept thinking like a Booker. And I kept thinking like, it's a good idea, but then you have Kip Sabian, because you have to have Nero win. If you don't have Nero win, then you waste his energy and his heat. And then you have Kip going over, but if you have Kip losing, he looks like a cuck or something. So you don't want that either. So like this is a tough book match in my opinion, but I do think we eventually see it. But
I will agree with Chris on what he said. Miro looks like a monster.
He does.
And he was knocked out
for 5 minutes after that first orange punch.
Did you see how big that orange crush punch was? It was huge.
Dude.
Don't dude me. Don't, dude.
Oh,
don't.
I want to say something, but it's just gonna sound. I'm gonna sound like a huge mark, so I don't want to say it.
Say it. I want to hear it. Let's hear it.
Miro didn't stay down this long when Roman Reigns hit him with Superman punch. But you're gonna tell me an orange punch is to keep him out for 5 minutes?
Yeah, that strength, boy. That orange juice really gives you power.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're having technical difficulties here.
We're definitely having some technical difficulties. All right, let's move on. Unless you have anything you want to say, Elias.
You could have had it on AEW Wednesday.
Hit my music. That's a great line. Nero looks great.
Yeah, he looks great. I felt that the storyline kind of went dud, but I get what they're trying to do. Never mind. And the match didn't deliver. Like, I mean, I felt that it was.
Elias, one more thing. With the match not delivering, AEW's crowds are very forgiving. We all agree.
AEW's 100%. 100% agree. 100% agree. But that's an indie show. That's something that needs to be said, is that AEW still feels super indie in the fact that, like,
here's the thing. Why are they. This is the only match where people were cheering for other wrestlers that weren't in the match.
When? What part?
It was when Trent was getting beat up, or Chuck Taylor was getting beat up the whole time. They were just cheering for stuff that had nothing to do with the match.
I did not notice the cheers in that crowd. I did not notice.
Elias, did you notice this?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
I won't disbelieve you, because I wouldn't be shocked. Because the beginning of it, while I liked the match enough, like I'm not going to give it like an 8 rating. Like if we go through these and kind of give them some simple ratings out of 10, nothing like too like hard thought and stuff. Like this is only getting a 6, okay? Like this is not the greatest match, but it had a good story and it had a good ending result to the story, because Orange Cassidy is already a star. He didn't need to win this match anymore. Like they've done it. They've got Orange Cassidy over, so he doesn't have to win. And Miro winning won.
Yeah, and I think the point of the match was to get was to tell the storyline between Chuck Taylor and Miro. So it did deliver on that. I just felt that at some point of the match, it just became kind of like, okay.
I did like the way Rusev hooked in the game over, like how he cranked back on it. I thought that was really cool, especially because Tony Schiavone, I believe, put it over really well. He's like, Chuck Taylor just stuck there. There's nowhere he can go. He knows it's coming. It gets hooked on. Taylor, great shell job tapping right away. I loved it.
I ending of that match in a lot of ways saved the remainder of the match, because if something different would have happened with the ending, I would have probably been just as annoyed as you about the Superman punch or something. But with him knocking off Kip Sabian's wife and then Kip Sabian going over to try and help, and then him like grabbing him and throwing him back in the ring and being like, I don't care about her. Come over here and tack me so I can go win this thing. Like, so, he looks like a heel. And I like it.
And it's setting the precedent in the story of them eventually breaking up. So, so that's a good thing about that. All right. Next match.
Hangman Page versus Big Money Matt. I don't think we're going in the correct order. I just got a card pulled up, so I don't know. I don't think this is the right order, but we're just going to go through them and talk, obviously. Hangman Page versus Big Money Matt Hardy. I love the fact that now, I hope on Wednesday they refer to him as Broke Money Matt Hardy, because that should be his next. Broke ass Matt Hardy, one or the other. I don't like how it was the first quarter earnings, so it only goes until the end of this month. So that means that maybe that's smart. Maybe it's better if the gimmick doesn't last like 3 months.
You see how the gimmick plays out. You see how the gimmick plays out, and then you decide what you want to do with it. Yeah.
I thought this match was so-so. I would give this one a 7 out of 10 personally, just because I thought that the story was better than the Nero and Chuck match.
I know we usually hate on the Buckshot Lariat, but I liked how how Matt Hardy reversed it into a side effect. It looked really cool. I know we knew Matt Hardy wasn't going to win there, but that was one of the best looking side effects I've seen in a minute.
Yeah.
I think I will say this. I think this is one of the best matches Matt Hardy has had in a while.
Best one in AEW?
In AEW.
Right? Like even the one that they did at the compound with the whole,
I think he looked really good in this match itself. It wasn't like perfect, but he did look better than most of the matches. That's about it on that one, in my opinion.
Are we supposed to forget that a couple of months ago they were partnered in the Stadium Stampede match?
I mean, not really. Let's talk about like story wise, right? Like he obviously had an in to go talk to Hangman because they were already kind of friends, so he went and did that. But now he's starting a managerial. Guess what, guys? I hate to break this to you, Moise, but if for some reason I became like a manager, like a talent agent, like we're friends, right? But I would go to you and I would gut you. I would gut you like a fish to try and get as much as I could from you. So that
at least
I would
you see potential in me. You see potential in me. I like that. But you see potential in me. Yeah.
That's why. All right. I think it's funny. I thought the match was good. I would give it a 7. I'd give it a 7.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like a 7 out of 10.
I thought the interference was kind of stupid. Like, cause I think the match didn't need it. Like,
you know, it did need the save from the Dark Order. It did need that at the end
the ending paid off. Seeing the Dark Order and him just embrace and stuff like that and just celebrate was a good feel good moment for the storyline. That's about as much as I can give it.
Before Elias told me that he went into last night it with like no expectations at all. He's like, I'm just gonna go in and I'm gonna enjoy whatever it is that they give me. So far you have sounded very negative. It's the first two matches we've talked about, I'll agree, but at the same time, like
I think these were the two most lackluster matches though. This and
yeah.
And we'll get to the women's match. I want to kind of talk about that. So
yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the ladder match. Face of the Revolution: Cody Rhodes versus Penta El Zero Merdo and Scorpio Sky versus Lance Archer versus Max Caster versus to be determined. And it turned out to be Ethan Carter the third.
Ethan Page.
Not Ethan Carter. I get all my Ethans and my ECs and my EPs. I get them all confused. Okay.
Now there's three Pages on the roster, you know, Diamond Dallas Page, then there's Adam Page.
He can sort of.
I don't know what
to do. There's two Pages.
So the first half of the match was actually kind of slow. You could tell some of the spots were not timed correctly, because you saw like the ladder spot that where I think Scorpio Sky got power bombed onto Lance Archer. It felt like they were waiting for a minute to get to it, but after
the Cody Cutter,
that would have looked so good too.
And like stuff like that, that was the minimum of it. But I really enjoyed the match. I think Scorpio Sky deserved to win, even though I wanted Lance Archer to win.
He's gonna lose on Wednesday, though. That's the thing. We all know he's gonna lose on Wednesday.
Scorpio Sky has so much potential, and I really wish that they would let him just.
Can I give a quick prediction for Wednesday, I think y'all both would like? Hard fought match, Scorpio loses, goes to shake Darby's hand at the end, and just full heel turn.
Scorpio Sky heel turn. After I heard him on the microphone on commentary, I don't want him I'm sorry. That sounds a lot ruder than it is, but
well, they're saying Kazarian might be hurt, so you can do that whole Christopher Daniels as the legend.
I wonder if he did. I wonder if he did actually get hurt.
But you can do the whole Christopher Daniels as the legend for him.
Landed on his shoulder pretty bad, and when he got thrown out, so I think he probably did get injured.
He might have. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a hot take. I think that's a hot take.
Was anyone annoyed with the Cody Rhodes going backstage because we knew he was coming back out because they wouldn't take him off the camera?
That the only reason why it did bug me was because they didn't take him off camera. Like, totally. I did not have any problem with him leaving and coming back at all. But
no, I think the way they did it, that's what kind of bugged me a little bit because
it was just dumb.
Yeah.
It didn't affect my opinion of the match, though. Like, right? Like that was just a dumb moment within the match. The match itself. Here's my question to you: is it beneficial to have a match like this for the TNT title, but not have a match like this for the World Heavyweight Championship?
I feel that, and this is my God honest opinion about it. I feel that they're paying more attention to the TNT title than the World Heavyweight title.
We talk about there's not writers for this company, and it's like the wrestlers are doing most of the writing. I feel like there's too many heads focused on the world title. Like I feel like Don Callis is giving input. I feel like Kenny is. I feel like Tony is. I feel like Moxley was. And so I feel like there's just too many heads in the world, like focusing on the world title picture, to where it's kind of diluting it, you know?
I think that it's a good way to prop up the importance of the TNT title, which is interesting. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because you don't see WWE do that. You would never see you have seen it before. I'm not going to say you won't see it because the last title that Daniel Bryan won before he went to retirement was a Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania in a 6-8 man ladder match.
The John Cena U.S. title open that got that title very over.
Yes. But it's just weird to see a guarantee for a title shot for something like this, because normally you only see a guarantee for the big one. You know, right? Like the Money in the Bank is not for the U.S. title. The Money in the Bank is not for the Intercontinental title. So it's interesting to me that they chose to sell it with the TNT title. I don't hate the idea, but I wouldn't want to see it on every like their yearly pay-per-view, like Money in the Bank. I wouldn't want to see one that's focused for the TNT belt. I think it's a good way to start to get it over.
Should it have been a contract instead of the weird looking ring?
No, I like that because they did the poker chip the year before. Like
a lot of people were hating on the ring. They're like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Obviously that's
WWE brass ring reference.
That's going to happen a little bit, but I will say this. So I will always give AEW a little bit of crap for being very indie feeling, in the sense that like some of the matches they do, they just do it because in an indie promotion, you have to assume that a lot of the people coming through will never see it again. So it's okay to do these like crazy one-off matches because it's like whatever, like everything is not a part of a bigger world or story or anything like that, right? And some of the things that AEW does, the reason why they use a giant fucking Sonic the Hedgehog ring was because it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be more fun than the other guys. And this is different and feels more fun in comparison than just having a briefcase that looks like a lunchbox, right? Like. Yeah. Yeah, that's why.
I'll give you that. But that's why I just thought a contract would be standard. But
yeah, I don't even know where we are going with this. All talk. I do think Lance Archer should have won. I thought he looked like the most monstrous. I thought he looked the strongest.
But you know this person's gonna lose on Wednesday. That's the only thing. That's the only reason I'm happy with Lance not winning.
I guess so, but I think that Lance should have won, and Lance should have beat Darby. I think Darby. But
Lance is kind of getting that face turn now, though, right?
I mean, kind of, right? Like, just by like,
you're not gonna boo anyone who teams up with Penta,
yeah. And well, and the thing is like, he's kind of faced by the fact that like everybody wants it to he's cool, right? He's like Stone Cold Steve Austin face, he's too cool to not like. Like, he's a fucking murder hawk. Remember when he first came on, and I was like, I don't know if I like this murder hawk gimmick. I love the murder hawk gimmick now, like,
I love the music, that everybody dies, I love
everybody. Yeah, it's great stuff. I like it.
Before going on to the next match, because I don't think it's going to be listed on the card, let's talk about the surprise that Big Show had for us.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Anything, anyone else have anything else to say about the ladder match?
No, I enjoyed seeing Ethan Page on AEW. I think he's going to fit perfectly on there. I really enjoyed Penta's spots on the stuff that he did. Lance Archer teasing that he was going to jump through the ladder, like the rising ladder, was pretty fun to see.
I like
And
why did Max Caster kiss Pentagon's hand? Do we know this yet?
I don't know. Was it supposed to be a kiss, or was he like trying to like?
Bite? Yeah, it should have been a bite, right?
It should have been something else. Should have been something else.
But Max Caster looked good. His rap was awesome before the match. Yes.
I think everybody looked good.
I do too, actually.
And they had the perfect spots for everybody. I like how the ending was when he I did not hear what Scorpio told Cody before throwing him off the ladder.
Something like it's my time now or something like that.
It's my time. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
So I felt that was perfect for ending for the match.
I'm glad Cody lost. Right, like I think we're all glad.
I think the reaction would have been differently if Cody would have won, because it would have made I got injured, but I still won, and it kind of like you want to keep your EVPs away from titles, but I mean it's AEW, so I mean,
all right, let's talk about
WWE did the same thing, so
let's talk about Christian.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yes, let's talk about Christian. I'm going to stay quiet for the most part. I'm not a Christian fan all that much. I think that it was a decent surprise, but here's what I want to say is in our group chat, ever since last Wednesday, we have been talking about it nonstop. And one of the names that we brought up a few times was Christian's name, and everybody said the exact same thing. No, he's signed to WWE still. No, he's still signed. No, I got verification. He's still signed. I talked to my uncle, and my uncle told me he is still signed.
So Wrestling Inc. did report he was signed. The owner of Wrestling Inc. admitted he was wrong on that and posted an article before the show started. So
My point is the fact that we continually talked about it and we continually said that wouldn't happen because we thought we had information that turned out to be wrong. But my point is Christian getting signed.
We outwork everyone, just like Christian. I outwork everyone.
My point is,
so I kept,
they won.
I kept,
they won I kept, this.
I kept pointing at Christian, even Saturday, Sunday morning before the pay-per-view. I was like, I think it's going to be Christian because I saw Raj from Wrestling Inc. just be like, you know what, I was wrong. There's no contract. So I was like, wait, it's either Kurt Angle or Christian.
I never once thought it was Kurt Angle.
Well, they were teasing.
Start to think that it might have been Punk. I'll be honest. Like I was marking. I thought there's a
I for a second thought it was McAfee because McAfee started teasing it. And I was here's the thing. I was like, what's Cody gonna do after this ladder match? I'm like, McAfee. It makes sense. Cody wants the YouTube clicks, right? Because I love Christian. I've always been a fan. I know you haven't, Matt, been that big on him. I've always enjoyed him. I enjoyed his run in Impact. Kind of disappointed because the Fastlane match was supposed to be Edge and Christian versus Roman and Jay. I really wanted to see that.
I was surprised, but not like holy shit surprised. Like, Christian is a big name. And I feel that it's a good way to put him on and get him in the ring again. But to say that it was like, oh my God, this is like the best moment ever.
Who's Christian's first feud?
His first feud is probably Cody. He'll probably be Cody.
You know, after watching that street fight, I want it to be Ricky Starks.
I don't want it to be Ricky Starks. Christian would mop the floor with him.
No, but I think that last 3 minutes in that street fight, Ricky Starks looked good, dude.
I want to hear the rest of what Elias has to say. It was not a holy shit moment, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it was not. It was just like yay for Christian. Like I was happy that he signed somewhere. Doesn't matter because it's his redemption story as well because of the fact that he was medically unclear. now that he's able to go back, I hope to see good things from him. I mean, that's all.
Who do you think the first feud is, really quick?
I really think it's going to be Cody, or if not, it's going to be probably
I don't think you do face versus face right off the bat with him.
You don't know what Christian's going to be.
Yeah, we
if
don't
he's,
know.
If he's aligning himself with Big Show, okay, maybe. My in our chat, there was somebody saying that it's possible to he might be like an advocate type of gimmick, you know, manager type thing. And if that's the case, that's usually more, I would say that's usually more heel-ish, right? Like an advocate on your side and stuff, because they want to push you to the moon and back, and they don't care how they do it. But I so we don't know if he's going to be face or heel, obviously.
What if he puts over queen. Scorpio Sky after the loss, if Scorpio loses?
I could see that happening. I could also see him get paired up with Sammy Guevara.
I'd like, you know, that's not a bad first feud. I'd like to see Christian lose his very first match. And this is going to sound, this is my booking hat real quick. Okay. I don't like how important wins are early on. And I think if you make your talent lose in the beginning, big name talent lose in the very, like the very first match, just the first one, you don't need to go on like a losing streak. That's a terrible idea, obviously. But you go on, you lose one match to get like the ring rust gone. And then you can win multiple matches without the fear of needing to take a loss before you lose momentum. That's yeah. My opinion.
No, that's definitely understandable.
And it worked with MVP. MVP lost his first match back to Rey Mysterio, and then MVP just went on to bigger things. So I do like that theory.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I think Cody's a good component. I think Sammy's a good component for a first feud. I think that even, you know, I mean, you know, it's so, this is a difficult thing because there are a few wrestlers with some kind of things going on. Like Lance Archer doesn't have anything going on, but do you want to see Lance and Christian in the first feud?
I would rather see Brian Cage. I'd rather see Brian Cage and Christian.
Brian Cage and Christian, that's not a terrible one, but I feel like there might be in different, obviously there's no weight class. I get that, but like they're in different areas. What's up, Muhammad? Thank you so much for stopping by and watching Weekly Wrestling.
The only reason I say that is because Brian Cage took care of Sting. So I feel like maybe it'll be like, all right, this will be a good guy to first eat him in, and he looks like a monster, you know?
Yeah, Elias, I can agree on
wants
that.
Wants to see Sting and Christian as the first feud, right? That's the one you're hoping for, right? Right? Pretty sure?
On what? A walker on a pole match?
Viagra on a pole match.
We need to keep going.
All right, let's get into the we already went over the tag team royal, right?
I want to talk about Christian's face on Thursday. You guys mark that down. I want to talk about Christian's face.
Face on Thursday. Because he looks pretty sexy.
No, because Finch always hated the face, and I always thought he was a decent-looking dude.
He's a decent-looking dude. I got no gripe.
Yeah, like Finch wanted to do the red dot on his face, remember?
AEW Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus Chris Jericho and MJF. I just want to say that this was the indie feeling match to me. This was
good opening match, though.
It was fine. No. I won't even give you good. I'm mad at this match. I am legitimately angry at this match. You know why? Because the moment it started, I knew the Young Bucks were going to win. Why don't you know the Young Bucks are going to win? Like, this match was just stupid. Like,
your prediction you gave MJF and Jericho.
Yeah, and then when I watched the match, I was like, I was an idiot for even thinking that for a brief second, because this whole match is just a whole lot of super kick Young Bucks stupid ass party. I hate the Dave Meltzer driver. I thought I was turning into a slight Young Bucks fan. I'm not. I am not. Bullshit.
Am I going to be in the minority here? Am I going to be the only one that liked it? Elias, your thoughts?
Of course not. Elias loves this hippity-hoppity jump spot.
No, I thought it was a good match to open up the show. I thought it was one of the better matches of the show. I mean, compared to the first two we talked about, I mean.
No, the first two are way better than we talked about. I would watch Hangman at Matt Hardy 7 out of 10 times compared to Young Bucks anybody.
Not Young Bucks versus Pac and Phoenix, which we're about to get.
And they're going to win. The Young Bucks are going to win.
I don't think they are.
They are. And I'm going to hate it.
I don't think they are.
Let Elias speak, damn it.
I think that MJF and Jericho did look good. They work really well as a team. I didn't I did not like how Wardlow was used. That was my only gripe about this match.
I did like him catching the Judas effect because it builds to that promo later where MJF said, yeah, we're going to talk, you know, when
Jericho
thinks all is dandy.
You think that's what he's going to tell him? You think he's going to be like, hey, don't be hitting my big. Only I can hit my big.
No, I think that Jericho's going to get attacked, and I think Sammy's going to come make the save.
On for Jericho? Oh, that's right. That we Yeah. Agreed. But Ortiz and Santana, they don't have any gripe to hate against Jericho or MJF.
I don't know where they're going to go with that.
Okay. Let Elias finish talking. Stop interrupting him.
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, the only thing the only thing I can say about it is that probably what might happen on Wednesday, and this is just a prediction. But I think they might try to kick Santana Ortiz out, being like, "Well, where were y'all when we were, you know, we were doing this?" So I think it's gonna add more heat to MJF and just go from there. So, all right, Moise, go.
Especially with what you said, the way that Ortiz has just lately been the dude with his head up in the skies, you know, not caring. It seems like, yeah, they're going to be like, Ortiz, where's your mind at? I can see them just trying to kick out one of them. And then Santana being like, nah, we don't do that, you know? Because Santana orchestrated the attack on the dad. Santana orchestrated the attack on the dad, not Ortiz. So I...
Hold on a second. Muhammad, you bring up a great point. Because to beat the Bucks, you need to create stars out of it. It's not a hot potato title. Do we need to remember where this title has gone in the time that it took to get to the Bucks? They built a haphazard tag team out of Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. Now, you can say all you want how big of a star they are, and to create this mega power tag team or something. Some people might. Calm down. So, but before that, we had a few other tag teams. Gosh, what is the tag team history of this belt? Because it's not
SCU. It's only SCU.
Is this the third team or fourth?
Third team.
No. They didn't win it from SCU. FTR.
FTR hasn't won it.
Yes, FTR got it before the Bucks. Yeah, the FTR.
They got it before the Bucks.
That's SCU. Right, they did. Omega, Page, then FTR, and then the Young Bucks.
I think SCU lost to the heel team that Omega and Page won it from.
Here's the thing is, going back to what I was about to say, like, to beat the Bucks, you need to have stars. Like, MJF is a star. Like Chris Jericho is a star. These are not people that you need to make a star out of. Like, Pac and Phoenix agreed, but I'm worried. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased because I really do not like the Young Bucks. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Oh no! So Cal did lose to Kenny and Omega, who lost to FTR, who lost to Young Bucks. There's only been four champions.
Exactly.
Which I think is good. In a year and a half, I think that's great. 18 months.
Yeah.
I do agree with Muhammad though. I think FTR should have kept those titles a little bit longer than they did, but right. Whatever.
They actually need it. The FTR actually needs those belts right now in the beginning.
They're the four horsemen. They don't need it.
They're not the four horsemen. Women's match. Yukira Shida?
Shida? Hikaru Shida.
Hikaru Shida versus Ryo Mizunami. Nami. Yes, I said that. All right. I said that. All good. All right. I said that. They are stars, but you need to establish them through the division first. Okay. If we needed to get everyone established, we wouldn't have fun things like the Face of the Revolution ladder match. We wouldn't have the tag team Rumble Royale. Okay. Agreed. Yes, they do need to build up things, but especially when it comes to MJF and Chris Jericho and the Inner Circle, who have been around since the conception of AEW, just about. You don't need to build them in any direction because they're already at the top of the echelon.
I honestly feel Santana Ortiz should have had the run with the tag team titles instead of Kenny Omega and Paige.
I can't say this because it's only been a year, you know, like
But if, I mean,
I think with how hot fucking Jungle Boy is, he should have had it. Like, there's so many ways you can go with it, right? Like,
yeah, agreed.
It's only been a year. That's what I'm gonna
say. Okay. Yeah. Good point. You are good point. FTR versus Bucks was not match of the year. I'm sorry, Muhammad. Me and you are. It turns out we're going to become enemies. I don't know why this is happening the way that it is, but it just might. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. AEW Women's Title. You know what? This match was. I'm glad it picked up at the end of it because the beginning of it was just a lot of. I didn't like it. I know that this is supposed to feel.
What was the dancing? What the hell?
I don't know. You know what? It was supposed to be it's juicy. It's supposed to be
part of her gimmick. She does this in Japan.
I understand, but she's a badass. You should be kicking her in the face when she does that.
Do we agree that Hangman should dethrone Kenny?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not against that idea at all.
I'm not against the idea neither because of the fact that, you know.
Well, especially who else?
But I
right?
no,
who
I else? Want Kenny to have it for another. I want Kenny to have it for like another 8 to 10 months.
10 months of Kenny Omega and Don Callis.
Eddie Kingston's feud is going to go at least 2 months.
Eddie Kingston died. He had an allergic reaction. He died.
We'll talk about that when we get to. I talked to Elias about it for a long time last night. So we will.
We gotta go. Okay. AEW Women's Championship match. Not a fan of it. I do not care. I don't care for Hikaru Shida. I don't care for her personally. I don't like her style. I do not. I think there are better Japanese style wrestlers. She is not
in WWE.
100%. AEW Women's Champion talent is not anywhere even remotely close to talent in WWE. 100% agree. This match was very. I don't know about No Owl Promotion. Okay, this match. I don't have anything to say. Either of you.
You're missing out on Deonna Purrazzo. That's your loss.
Oh, that hurt. Oh, sorry. I was watching wrong.
Either of you know what to say about this match?
No, I think it picked up. I agree with you. It picked up at the end. I felt that the ending, they kind of did a couple of false finishes that I think they could have been removed. But other than that, it was enjoyable for what it was. It wasn't a bad match. It's just it's hard to get into people that you don't really know like that.
And the characters you don't know. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The hype package they did before the match, I will say was good. You know what? When the hype package first hit, I was like, oh, cool. I want to see this. And then it started, and I was like, I don't give no shits about this.
You know what I told Elias yesterday? Cena would be so good with a Paul Heyman type or a Vicky Guerrero type with her.
No, we don't need more advocate managers. I'm done.
I don't think Nyla needs Vicky. I think Cena would benefit more from Vicky than Nyla does.
So talking about the end of the match, actually, when Nyla, Britt, Miko, and Reba did their run in for Thunder Rosa to come out, I'm really high on Thunder Rosa right now.
Not high on Thunder Rosa.
I love Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, I agree.
Stop interrupting him, Moise. Let him finish his thought.
I think Thunder Rosa is how Shotzi should be booked.
Oh my God.
Anyways, I think that Thunder Rosa should be the next person to hold the title. But it's going to be Britt Baker eventually. I wouldn't be mad with that neither because I think Britt Baker should have been the face of AEW women division for a long time. So
interesting thought here, real quick. I want to throw this out to you, okay? Because we talked a little bit about hot potatoing a title is not a good idea. We said that and we agree with it for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Something that helped the women's title in WWE initially pick up steam was having it go back and forth between Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks. Charlotte would win it on pay-per-view, and Sasha would win it back on Raw. The next fucking night, she would win it. And hot potatoing, I agree, is not a great idea, but it's interesting how I think that helped not only the rivalry between these two women, right, but also the belt and the notoriety of the belt and the fact they are pushing themselves to get to that belt every single time. I almost wonder if we could see a redo of that same sort of idea for AEW and have a hot potato-like atmosphere with the women's title a little bit, because eventually when it stops, I'll call on you, Moyes, in just a minute. Eventually, when it stops being a hot potato and the person keeps it for a longer period of time, it'll make it look much stronger. Moyes, what's your thoughts?
People care about Charlotte and Sasha. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You have to create that. You have to work on that. Yeah, I mean, people do care about Britt Baker, right?
I think if you do it with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, it could work, but not right? with Sheeta.
Yeah. I don't think I feel bad for Sheeta, because I feel like I'm being way more negative than I should on her. And I know she's a very great professional. And I know that there are plenty of people that really do enjoy her work. There's something about it. And maybe, you know what? Maybe I just don't like AEW's women division. And that's just
Elias,
and that's,
one
that's
question for you is because you're the inside baseball guy on this, you know, inside wrestling guy on this. Are Hikaru Shida and Kenny Omega a thing?
No.
Like 100%
confirmed. Not 100% confirmed, but I don't.
Hold on,
think
let
so.
let me send him a text message. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yo, Kenny, you get that Yoshida? Yoshida?
All right, let's talk about the street fight.
Sting, Darby Allin, Brian Cage, Ricky Starks. This was a cinematic slash, just moving street camera fight. Around. Just
The initial of it kind of reminded me of the Boneyard match, how the Undertaker came down the road. It did give me reminiscences of that. But I like the music that went along with it. I thought that the commentary, we could have done without the commentary.
No, I think it needed the commentary. I
don't know. I felt that the commentary sometimes took away from the match.
One problem with the WWE cinematic matches that this made me realize is that I really do like commentary in my in watching, when I watch sports, when I watch wrestling, when I watch anything over something. I enjoy commentary in general, and I think the quiet. Needed to be there. You know, it needed one less person. I'll give you that. I'll 100% give you that.
I think that's what killed it. It was too many people doing talking, and then you heard Shivani, you heard your Excalibur, you heard JR, and then you heard Taz.
What,
so it's kind
of, what do you mean you heard JR?
Trying to talk. That's what I was going to say. I love JR. I think it's time for him to, go. Elias, why haven't they used Golden Boy a lot more on commentary? Cause I know at the beginning, they were pushing hard. I like Golden Boy. Well, I thought he was really good.
Who do they lose? Nobody. Until JR says I'm done, they can't just be like, "Hey JR, you're done." like they have to wait for JR to be like, "Hey, I'm going to be done with this." Okay, I liked, this was my favorite cinematic match that I've ever seen. I think this one was the combination of all the other cinematic matches that we've seen up to this point, with all the things that they did wrong and what they've done right. To me, this was the best cinematic match that we've had thus far, in my opinion, and it worked.
I don't know if it will like surpass the final deletions that happened in TNA, because those were pretty badass.
The last one was real good. That one was real good.
Well, no, like the ones that they had in TNA were better than.
I agree. I totally agree with you. The TNA final deletions were really good, and the very last one was great. I agree.
Yeah. So, but I did enjoy the match. I thought that the spot where Brian Cage had Darby in a suplex holding him up and just walking up the stairs was pretty fucking nice. I enjoyed the last spot that Darby did with Cage when he elbowed him off the top of the second floor. That I thought that added a good element there. I enjoyed how good Ricky Starks made Sting look. And you know, my main concern was Sting's safety. I think they did a great job at keeping him safe and actually, you know, letting him do Sting. My favorite spot was when Will Hobbs and Brian Cage swung Darby into that mirror.
That was insane. That looked so good. That was the best. That was good.
I like that. I like Darby climbing up the wall too.
I know, but he didn't hit the move though. That was the problem with it. If he would have hit the move, I think it would have been better. Though I agree with Brian Cage catching, especially he's fresh, right? He's fresh. He's not like, this phony baloney fucking jumpy hoppity shit ain't gonna fool me now because I'm too fresh. Okay. My initial two thoughts, because we had talked about this a couple times before. I thought Sting was going to take the loss for the team and Team Taz was going to win. If Sting didn't take the loss for Team Taz to win, Darby should have got the win for his team to win, in my opinion. I don't like that Taz looked, or not Taz, I don't like that Sting looked as good as he did. And this is me as like my style of wrestling that I like. And you guys have heard me talk about, I don't like part-timers coming back for big matches. I don't like old-timers, you know, legends being made to look better than current talent. This is me. I do not like that. And Sting is not immune to this, okay? Like no legend is immune to this, okay? I love Jake Roberts getting a short-armed clothesline in the casino, in the Face the Revolution ladder match. Loved that. Thought it was fantastic. When he took the super kick, I was like, ha, that's all that needs to be done, and it's done and over with. I mean, it's a street fight, which allows Sting to do it, which is fine, obviously, but I still stand by what I say, that if Team Taz should have won and Sting should have took the loss, and
I agree.
Darby Allin should have took the win. Otherwise, it almost doesn't feel like the feud is officially over, because Darby Allin is the feud of this whole thing, right?
Well, I think my booking things came into it while watching the match. I was like, well, if Sting and Darby would have lose, Brian Cage should have got the pin on Darby to give him a shot at the title eventually, which was what I was hoping, but it didn't happen. But either way, I felt that Team Taz needed to win more than Darby and
we talked Sting. About that too. I really do think that Team Taz kind of needed to have this. I agree with you 100%. Like, what now for Team Taz? Yeah, where do they go? What do they do? Who do they threaten now?
Do you recruit Scorpio Sky
to Team Taz? Hey, Team Taz. We're Team Taz, Scorpio Sky. Hold on. This is me, Moise. You are Scorpio Sky. Okay, ready? Try to look attractive. Good job. How'd you do that? All right. So I'm going to come up to you. I'm Taz. Okay.
Hey, I'm Taz. Okay. I'm coming up to you right now. And I would like you to join Team Taz. Okay. Now,
I'm a big fan.
Donald Trump.
My name is Scorpio. Oh, I forgot my line because I'm horrible on the mic.
You can't be doing the skit if I'm doing the skit. Okay. We can't both be skitting
right now.
Hey, Taz here. I'm wanting you to join Team Taz. Now listen up. Okay, hold on a second. I know what you're thinking. You haven't won anything and you haven't done anything and you're not successful at anything. So what do I have to gain from going over to Team Taz? Well, here's what you have to gain, young Scorpio Sky. I'll let you touch the FTW belt. There you go. Deal.
Okay. So what I liked about this match was I thought Brian Cage looked like a badass coming out of the car. I thought he looked like a real movie villain. The spots that you guys talked about, the wall spot, the jumping off. I love the Sting getting beat up until Darby threw him the bat a lot, because it signifies that the bat has importance. And then I really enjoyed the I know Matt didn't like it, but I really enjoyed the last 3 to 4 minutes with Ricky Starks and Sting in the ring. If they do go that route, I could see maybe Ricky Starks being pushed out of group because he took the pin and Scorpio Sky coming in. I could see that happening. And then
I don't know what's happening, but I just walked in and I'm going
to
say
that. I told Elias one thing I really liked, and I think you'll agree with this, Matt, is when Sting was getting beat up, Darby threw his baseball bat. So it signifies the power of the bat, right? So I really like that too. So that's my thoughts on this match. I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna unpopular opinion. I think this is my second favorite cinematic match on AEW. Stadium Stampede was my number one.
I really like the Matt Hardy segment in the Stadium Stampede. I will stand by that. That is the greatest moment in cinematic wrestling.
But this is the greatest match, you know what my favorite part?
You know what my favorite part in that match was? The Hangman Page and Swagger at the bar. I thought that was a lot of fun.
When was Brian Cage's last win in AEW?
Probably Dark.
Right?
I don't remember.
Right?
He beat Evan Bourne like a month, or sorry, Matt Sydal like a month ago or something.
But it goes back to that big guy syndrome where they kind of get stuck in a limbo after a big match. So this was a big match for Brian Cage. So if he took the loss, what now? Like, if they're going to continue the storyline, then it's just like they should have just had Cage pin Darby and go from there.
Because I want this storyline to be over. I'm done with it. I'm sold.
Where do you want both parties to go? Obviously, Darby will probably go into something with Scorpio, but where do you?
I think that's going to be a one off. I think that'll be a one off.
Where do you think Team Taz goes from this?
I think I hate to say this, but I think after the match, Team Taz is going to come out and attack him, and it's going to lead to Darby versus Cage for the TNT title.
You can't get a title match out of it. I know what you're saying, and I know that it's not real life, so I get it. But like, you can't. Like, he lost. They lost. There's okay, no way to give him a title.
Why can't Will Hobbs get it?
Because he's a pushover. That's why. Because he's Will Hobbs.
You get what I'm saying? He wasn't in the match.
That was dumb. No. Wait, stop.
No, they're going to go with Cage because he's the power. That's the person they're pushing out of
that's
that
That's the story. Yeah, no.
Can I just say that I really don't like Ricky Starks, too. Like, I don't like him. Like, I'm not a fan of his at all. I do not care for him.
I love the guy, Matt. Like, I think I – oh, but there's a guy in NXT that hasn't been on TV in a minute that he really reminds me of. Elias, do you know who I'm talking about?
No,
he's been injured. Kona Reeves. He really reminds me of Kona Reeves, and I love the gimmick, man. Like, you're a freaking playboy. You don't need to be in Team Taz. I'll give Matt
Taz to focus on tag division. Who is the tag team, and is that what you really want to see Brian Cage in AEW be? Just like,
I do not want to see Brian Cage face Luchasaurus. No, I don't want to see that.
I kind of do.
Honestly, I kind of want. I kind of if they don't push him into the into that scene that made the TNT title, I want to see him pushed in the heavyweight division. I think he would be even though he's a heel, I think that I would like to see him try to dethrone Kenny Omega.
It's time.
Taz and Callis would be fun.
It's time. It is time to see Biggs versus the heavyweight championship. It's time for Lance Archer to get in there. It's time for Brian Cage to be in there. It's time. Like, they've kept those guys safe from. Why is there an echo? Moise, is that you? I feel like it's you.
I have headphones. It's not me.
I just blame you usually. I hear echo. Or maybe echo. I just hear my own sexy voice. So that's why I was thinking that. Okay. Let's be done with this. I think we're sold. I think we're done.
All right. Last match of the night was the exploding barbed wire match. I'm going to give my initial thoughts first. I thought the match itself was nice. I enjoyed it. It was enough carnage to last a long time for me. Yeah, it's a wrestling fan and a fan of the exploding barbed wire matches. It was just right. I felt that the ending was not needed with I thought it should have been a clean pin. And then after the match, that's when you should have had the Good Brothers come out and attack and do everything that they did, because it took away from the match at the end for having them do the run in. And then I felt it was stupid as hell to do build up. Even everybody was building up this big explosion, and for the result that we got, it kind of disappointed me, because I mean, come on. And then them try to go on social media and defend it like they did. They kind of deflected from the fact that you had poor Eddie Kingston sell a fucking move, a bullshit ass pyro thing, and then
Sparklers.
Act like he was dead. And you know, it just turned me off from the whole fucking the end of the match. It just, like, it was a dud. I mean,
so I might cry when I talk about this. So Matt, you want to go next?
I'll go next.
I'm totally fine with the interference because that is how Kenny Omega has had his entire reign so far. He's been extremely dirty. He's been very heel, and he's been the kind of heel that uses opportunities to keep his belt. So I had no problem with that, especially because they brought him an even bigger bat with barbed wire wrapped around it. Like, had it been the Good Brothers that did the damage, I would have been annoyed a little bit because I don't like that. But they did it right, in my opinion, because they had this fucking weapon. Just, I don't even know what else to call it. Okay, it's a baseball bat, it's wrapped in barbed wire, and it has explosions on it. It's just crazy shit. And they give it to him, and he wallops. Just hits him hard.
Why couldn't Don Callis have done that? That's
Don Callis on the commentary. What are we talking about? He's not a wrestler.
He kept getting out. He kept like, I'll be back, and then gone and done does his shit, and then comes back to the freaking table and
I don't think Rich Callis tripping or something. So.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I disagree completely. Like, this is the Good Brothers. This is their muscle moment. That's what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no problem with that at all. And because of the weapon, it was in the spot of the weapon with the big baseball bat explosion. That looked fine. That looked absolutely good.
That looked good.
And it was enough to put him away, and I was fine with that. I liked the one-winged angel, and I popped. I legitimately was like, holy shit, he hit it. He's John Moxley's going to lose because I know how well protected that move is. And I thought it was a really good avoidance to have him kick the rope to make the explosion go off. I would have preferred the one-winged angel when he came down, had his foot hit the rope as he came down, and he never got a pin at all. That would have been better, in my opinion, because any form of pin and him have enough strength to kick his leg, I don't think was needed. I would have rather.
The announcer sold it well. They said no one kicked out of it. His legs just floated or whatever, you know.
But it would have been even better if he never even had the attempt, right? Like, that's just me wanting more, obviously. Okay, everything about this match was fine. Everything. And it was a 2021 North American death match, and it was fine. It was absolutely fine. And then the ending happened, and I almost feel like we don't need to say anything else on this point because we all know it was trash. It was garbage. It was absolute bullshit that they expected somebody to believe that that was okay. And then you have Moxley, who I have to believe is basically shooting on this at this point. Like, for him to say that Kenny doesn't know how to build a bomb, like, what the fuck? Why did Eddie Kingston sell it all? Here's the real messed up part in my head that I don't understand, because Eddie kept selling it. So either somebody told Eddie, no, we're gonna like do effects after the fact.
And Eddie Eddie was face down the whole time,
right?
So Eddie doesn't know. Maybe there was a big explosion in the back, right? It's louder in the ring than it is to the audience, obviously.
Right? So now it just makes Eddie Kingston look kind of like a bitch. And that is one thing Eddie Kingston is not. And that's why that's the frustration to me is you had him sell death. Death and sacrifice. Like, it could have been a fantastic moment that was absolutely ruined by horrible pyrotechnics. And I don't want to take the entire match away, because the entire match was good.
The ending
was absolute trash.
I definitely agree. I think the match itself was, if minus the glitch at the end, I thought that match would.
But they're selling it like it's not. Do you think there was something that went wrong, or do you think that's what they always intended for it to be?
I think they're gonna play it off as Kenny purposely. Oh, I scared the shit out of you guys.
But why did Eddie sell death? Because I agree with you, but why was it ever intended for him to do that?
I think they expected more out of it. Even if it was a glitch on the pyro, they could have called an audible as the shit was happening. And I think that the way that they handled it afterwards is what's pissing the community, the IWC off.
Which is weird, because Tony Khan has 100% admitted fault before. I know you don't like Tony Khan. You think he's smug and all those things. I agree with you for the most part. Okay, I agree with you. But like, Tony Khan has admitted when they did the gimmick chair and it fucked up. He admitted when there was a problem with the match involving Dustin. He maybe, I don't know if it's just this new era of AEW. Maybe that's why. Maybe there's more shareholders that they need to appease to. But like, Tony Khan
did start out his promotional career as being somebody that was straight with the fans. So that's also why it's weird to me as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I was listening to the media scrub that they did, and he was playing it off like, oh, it was a pie, if you know, he was playing it off as part of the storyline. I'm like, no, like if it was part of the storyline, Eddie Kingston would have got up and been like, what the fuck? Or they could have called an audible there with somebody to tell them, hey, play it like nothing happened, but it didn't. And
that's a lot to think about on the fly, though. I will say that, right? Like, that's a lot to like have in the back of your mind. Like, we're gifted with 2020, and we're gifted from our couches and stuff like that. But like, because I agree with you 100%, that would have been the right move to do. But like, nobody thinks that on the spot.
Yeah, but you know, and that's where it kind of pissed me off, because of the fact that you're right. Tony Khan has always been that person that has always been honest with the fans and been like, yeah, it was a fuck up. And now he's making it seem like it was part of the storyline, and they're playing it to continue the storyline.
The asshole.
This was supposed to be the end of their saga, not. And if they're going to continue this, then it's like I'm losing interest in seeing more matches between Moxley and John and Omega.
I don't think you're going to see another match.
Well, I was hoping that they were going to kill. We had said it. We thought they were going to kill John Moxley, and that's how you get rid of him and get him out of this feud. John Moxley sat up and said, Kenny Omega sure doesn't know how to make a bomb. Toss me a beer. What are you guys doing after this? Anyways.
So, I don't know if you guys are ready for this.
Okay, here we go. I don't know what to think. Elias, what should we do? Are we prepared?
Yeah, just listen.
Okay.
There's three things that Moise lives for. It's wrestling, football, and Bollywood movies. There's been so many Bollywood movies where the brother comes and saves the other brother at the end when they've had family rifts or fought over a girl or whatever. One becomes a gangster, you know, whatever. So we're going into this, okay? So I loved the match. I thought the match was really good. I loved the leg falling on the rope. I loved the one-winged angel on the steel chair. I loved everything about it. I am saying I loved it. Now, when Eddie Kingston comes out, dude, I was watching this with my dad, and I was like, Dad, watch, dude. This is going to remind you of – I'm like, this is going to remind you of this Bollywood movie that me and my dad watched where the brother comes and saves the guy at the end. First of all, why couldn't Eddie Kingston pick up Kenny Omega and throw him out of the ring? That's one.
He came out a little early. That was the problem. Yeah, he came out early. Yeah, yeah.
Number two, I love the guy. Elias will vouch. I said I am so pissed that Eddie had to look like this, because I thought you could have easily made Eddie Kingston the number one face in your company if you actually had something happen there. Like
you could have had. He could have been the face, and you could have had 10 more months of Eddie, of Kenny being the champion, like you said, and then to finally have Eddie dethrone him. Oh my God. That would be like Daniel Bryan winning the establishment.
It would be 10 months. You know why? Because first he would feud with the Butcher and the Blade because they didn't want him to come out. They tried to stop him. So you could have easily done that. So now you're over here. You got this guy over. You got this guy on top of him. All the explosions, quote unquote, are happening. First of all, Tony says he's a big wrestling mark. Why wouldn't they just do a pyro like Kane? I think that would have sold more if they did the Kane pyro.
Why didn't the ring just fall?
Yeah, why didn't the ring collapse? That's my second point. You could just unscrewed something in that 1 minute countdown when Eddie was running down to have the ring collapse on one side. Okay, whatever. So Eddie Kingston's doing this, and it pisses me the fuck off because, god damn it, I followed Eddie Kingston now for 2 years since fucking Impact, and I've never seen a face Eddie Kingston. And I was about to, and I felt like I was about to get full on face Eddie Kingston, the gangster that everyone falls in love with because the gangster has a heart, you know? But we didn't get that. And we're not going to get that now because Kenny Omega doesn't know how to set up a bomb, apparently. And what pisses me off even more is if this happened on WWE, I know, and both of you guys will agree with this, if this happened on WWE, cancel my Peacock subscription would be trending. And that
like this. Hold on. Nobody is defending this.
Only
no, Ken, no. Wait, time out. So I was on the Facebook groups that I'm a part of that have to do with wrestling on Twitter. People are defending this, and people
tell
are running.
Tell them about Brian Alvarez.
Brian Alvarez at like an hour or two after all this was posted, ended up posting trying to switch the subject to what that WWE's knee slapping, leg slapping thing on Twitter. And he's like, yes, this did happen, like right afterwards.
And so my it's thing like, is, here's my thing. Even you're paying, sorry. Keep going.
And it's interesting because I was talking about this whole same thing. I'm like, AEW is past the honeymoon period. Because I responded to a poster like everybody shitting on AEW's missed spot with that, and everybody started bringing up WWE pay per views. I'm like, no, it's past the honeymoon period. It's time to hold AEW accountable for shit that they do, because everybody's given the pass because they're a new company. No, they're in year two. They should have figured out half of the shit that they're doing in year one and got better at it.
If they have got better though, they
well, have. Yeah, camera work is still horrible. We just talked about this,
but if you're gonna deliver some shit like this, that's not defend. Like, you should own up to it, not try to make it part of the storyline. And the AEW hardcore fans are literally defending this shit. They're saying that, oh no, this was supposed to happen because it's part of the storyline. I'm like, no, because if not, you wouldn't have sold Eddie Kingston acting like he was fucking dead. Like, you wouldn't have sold the commentary team wouldn't have sold the fucking thing that the way they sold it. God,
it sounded like Excalibur was about to bust up laughing, and he had to like mute his microphone. That's what it sounded like.
Two points from me. Well, three actually. JR is probably like, what the fuck did I sign up for after this?
That was the first time he's like, I should not have come here. I should have just took whatever Vince gave me and kissed his ass.
Okay. WWE does something like this, hashtag cancel the network is trending. I'm paying $10 a month as opposed to $50 an episode. That's point one. Second point is, over a year, you have this explosion. Why wouldn't you just have Kenny come out right after with a mic and say, hey, Moxley, I just scared the shit out of you. You're lucky you're about to be a dad, and I had sympathy for you. And just drop the mic.
Yeah, but like we said, you can't call audibles that quickly because we have the luxury, Moyes, of having 20/20 vision on all this. We have thought about this.
Why didn't they test it out before the show?
Agreed. No, I totally agree with that. But that's a different statement than the statement you just made. That's different.
Well, no, the time that they were putting the camera on Kingston and getting all the medical personnel out there, they were selling it like some shit just happened. So it's
I think they really thought it was gonna look bigger. Like they really did believe it was gonna look better on TV.
And that
you could even loosen one screw during the medical personnel coming out, and the ring collapses 10 seconds later. You know, and I'd be fine with it.
I have two thoughts about it too. Because here's the thing: if something did go wrong, like I almost hope there did, which sounds weird, but just because then I want to believe that there was going to be something much more spectacle than was. But if something did go wrong and they were expecting something more spectacle than what did, they wouldn't have gone in the ring because they would have been just like when you have a firework that you light and it doesn't go off, you don't run over to it.
Yeah.
You wait for it to eventually go off, or you take a bucket and you douse it in water. Okay, that didn't happen with this. Making me believe they knew that this is about what it was going to look like. Making me believe that they really did tell Eddie Kingston to sell it like there was no other. Making me believe that they really, really believed that this was enough. And you know what's weird? It didn't miss a lot. It just missed enough. Because the sparklers going off first was the worst part. That was actually the worst part. Had there not been sparklers and the thing that we saw with the ring only happen, I actually think we would have been okay. In a weird way.
At one corner of the ring collapse, yeah, I would have been perfect.
I think you would have almost been all right in a certain way. But the sparklers at the beginning is what actually ruined the entire thing, in my opinion. Rewatch it. I know you can on Twitter because AEW is a little piss poor petty bitch and are taking down all the clips. So I agree. He's just a petty asshole. But find it and rewatch it. And the worst part about the entire segment are the sparklers in the beginning.
So I'll close it out by saying this. Bully Ray tweeted something out last night that kind of resonated with me because it's true. The only thing they remember is the finish, and that's a quote by Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Anything that WWE does, and this is it, they always try to make sure that the ending is always big.
The happy people ending at WrestleMania. Yeah. The happy ending at WrestleMania is one example.
The crappy, like, even as crappy as the Hell in a Cell between Seth Rollins and The Fiend was, they still try to make it seem like it was something more. The delivery of the ending of your show is always supposed to be that one that sticks with your audience. That audience inside Daily's Place was not happy with that. So
they booed.
And then
they saw the situation that Eddie was in, and God bless those fans, because this was me at home. They started that Eddie chant, and I was like, you know, y'all know this fucked up, but y'all feel so bad for the dude that y'all are still going to chant his name because you know how good of a worker he is.
He sold death to sparklers. The man should win an Emmy.
He sold it more than when Moxley cut him up and threw the rubbing alcohol on him. Remember when we watched that match? He sold this more than that. Because
there's a question.
The fumes. Yeah. I know how you fix this. You have Kenny Omega come out. Keep Kingston off TV for a month, and you have Kenny Omega say, "Hey Moxley, only I knew your friend was allergic to the fumes of fireworks."
Stop writing bad fan fiction right now, Moise. I'm really
making this into volume.
All right, movie. So my ending thought, because we're running a little bit out of time.
Wait, would you have been happy if Kenny did that though? If Kenny came out and said, "Hey, I had sympathy for you because you're about to be a dad. I scared the shit out of you. Just drop the match and walk away."
That might have been dumber. That might have been a little dumber. I'm not going to lie.
No, because the way that that Don Callis was selling it was that, hey, this is the last match. And the way they were selling it was, we're going to have
your
to
wife,
kill you.
Your wife is a fellow Canadian. I love, and I can't do that to her.
Stop doing the fan fiction. You're literally writing. Stop it.
Anyways, last point before we sign off. Overall, I thought that Revolution was about a good 7.5. I'll give it an 8 at the most.
I would only go up to an 8, and I would go down to a 7 easily. I agree. I think the matches that were fun to watch were the Sting Darby. The Team Taz Darby, the Exploding Barbed Wire match was actually a good match up until the end of it. Hangman, Matt Hardy, and I would even, and also the Face of the Revolution. Like, if we just go off of the amount of matches that were good, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I would give it 6 good matches out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I think that it was a 7 at the lows and an 8 at the highs.
I give it a 7, and that's where, and the lowest I would go to 6. And God damn it, dude, they could have made this a Bollywood movie, man.
Okay, now we're done. Now we gotta end. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, and share the video out with all of your friends right here, Weekly Wrestling Heat Podcast. We're actually gonna be back coming up on Thursday, so do not miss us. It will be at 7:30 Central Standard Time. No, wait. 8 Central Standard Time?
We can do 7:30. I get more
8
time.
O'clock, 8 o'clock Central 8 Standard o'clock. Time. We'll be talking about NXT and AEW. This is the Hello Home show after Revolution. So we need to see who's alive, who's dead, and what the hell happened
NXT
to Eddie.
Big NXT show.
Big NXT match, 2 championship matches.
When did they go to Tuesday?
Because of NHL.
No, when?
After Mania.
After Mania. I wish it was a little sooner.
Well, so apparently there's going to be 2 big takeovers before Mania. One week following the other week is what
are they going to? Oh, are they going to do a 2-day thing?
Like a Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, that's what the plan is.
Okay, let's get it. Let's go.
All right. Follow us on Facebook, Weekly Wrestling Heat. Follow us on YouTube, Weekly Wrestling Heat. Follow us on Twitch, Weekly Wrestling Heat. Join us on Thursday at 8 o'clock Central Time as we come back with another hard hitting episode of Weekly Wrestling Heat. From me, Moise, and Matt, we are officially out.
Make us cry, Tony. Make us cry on Wednesday.
Love you, Muhammad. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.